5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is our Broncos insider, Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, Broncos country, pressing the panic button. I can hear it throughout the state of Colorado after the Broncos lost to the Bills 42-15 in a preseason game.
Yeah, man, Brady, that was ugly. Mm. I'm happy it was a morning game, so it was over and we could all have our Saturdays back after that. And you know what? I don't take too much from it, but at the same time, I do still take something from it because, look, the Bills are playing their starters, and, of course, the Broncos were going to be outmatched there. But I do like the way the Broncos backup started, going down, driving down, kicking a field goal. But then really outside of that, until Brett Rypien got it going near the very end of the game, I was a little concerned. And I am a little concerned at the depth of this team because what did the Bills show? They have championship-caliber depth on their team. What did the Broncos not show on Saturday? That they have that same level of depth, and we know that the Bills are the favorites to win the Super Bowl this year, and so the Broncos' backups just don't match up as well. So is that a huge deal? No, because this team is going to ride or die on the arm of Russell Wilson, and he wasn't out there, but is that something that could impact them and cost them a game or so throughout the season? It could, if this is how they compare to every other team.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you look at so many of these great teams, and yes, they have to have the stud quarterbacks and several pieces that make their team go. But it is about the depth most of the time. I mean, you get deep into the playoffs or you get to the playoffs, you're typically going to see guys that rise up and they start playing well. And here's a tight end that we didn't think was going to be very good, a wide receiver, what have you. So the depth is a concern. Let's talk about the quarterback position first and foremost. As you said, they're riding or dying with Russell Wilson. If he goes down, then we're really pressing the panic button. Josh Johnson, Brett Rypien, who do you think right now is going to be the backup quarterback, Zach?
Yeah, despite Brett Rypien putting up a really impressive game and getting hot, I think completing 18 straight at a point in the game, it's still going to be Josh Johnson. It's been Josh Johnson since the start. And Brady, this really reminds me of the quarterback competition the Broncos had at their starting position last year with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater, we talked about it. He was the leader from the get-go, and Drew Lock was going to really have to outplay him to take the job. It's the exact same. Josh Johnson is this coaching staff's guy. They brought him in. In fact, he's even George Payton's guy because George Payton didn't bring Brett Rypien, and George Payton brought Josh Johnson in. So Brett Rypien was really going to have to outperform him. And just the way that Josh Johnson played in game one already sealed it for me. So unless we see Josh Johnson come out and really struggle on Saturday for the third preseason game and Brett Rypien light it up again, this thing is Josh Johnson.
Do the Broncos sit down and talk about potentially carrying three quarterbacks, or is the plan going to be to go, you know, Russell Wilson and likely Josh Johnson?
You can't carry three with this team, with the depth that they should have, and it's going to be more valuable to hold on to a wide receiver or a defensive lineman than it is going to be a third quarterback. And Brady, if they need Brett Rypien to play at some point this season, well, that probably is going to tell you where the season's going already.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you get to that point, you are in serious trouble. Let's talk about the rushing attack. Now, we know Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon, those are going to be the guys. We didn't really see that starting lineup out there, at least together. But that was a rough outing for this team. 17 carries for 32 yards. I think they averaged, what, like 1.9 yards per carry. You saw Mike Boone out there. Certainly, I think maybe we'll see little bits and pieces of him throughout the regular season, but Stevie Scott, I mean, ultimately, what's your level of concern there when you're looking at the rushing attack, knowing, again, these aren't the guys you're going to go to battle with starting regular season week one?
Well, and Brady, even more bad news, that was better than the first game.
Yeah.
I think they averaged 1.7 yards per carry in the first game.
Improvement.
So the running attack, exactly. The running attack has been a concern. It was something that Hackett was most upset about after that first preseason win, despite pretty much everything else looking good. And to me, I'm a little concerned. Now, I'm not concerned with the players necessarily. I'm concerned at, boy, does this point to that it's just going to take a while to pick up the scheme. Because what do we hear? The scheme is so different. And every offensive lineman tells us just how different it is. Now, they also say how much they love it. but it tells me that when things are going full speed, it may just take some time for this offensive line to really understand and these running backs to really understand this new scheme. And so I am kind of pumping the brakes a little bit. And I'm not pressing the panic button because I do think this offensive line, by a couple of games in, we'll be fully up to speed. But the first couple of weeks, I'm not going to have my expectations to be 100% on this running game.
We're talking to Zach Stevens. He's our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. All right, let's switch over to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, my goodness, Zach. It didn't seem like they could do anything right, whether it was Josh Allen spinning around, throwing for touchdowns, or former Bronco Case Keenum. This team was running all over the Broncos. Tackling looked really rough out there. This gets us all going, and you know this more than anybody. You were at training camp every single day. Is that a result? Is what we saw yesterday, especially on the defensive side, or Saturday on the defensive side, a result of maybe not as aggressive practices throughout training camp leading up to the preseason?
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the practices and connecting the dots with how they performed, but boy, I mean, just the push everywhere failed on the defensive side, Brady. When you look at it, when you look at the defensive line, how often they got pushed back, and then the linebackers missing tackles, and then you go to the second level, and the quarterbacks just being able to do whatever they want. And like you said, it didn't matter if it was Josh Allen, Case Keenum, or Matt Barkley. They all look like Josh Allen out there. And it was concerning, and I think that points to the depth again, and the depth that we thought the Broncos had, now I'm questioning a little bit.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Okay, so you're not really going that route. Some people are going to go that route with Nathaniel Hackett. But again, I point out, I'm like, hey, it was fine against Dallas. So what changed against the Bills? Are the Bills just that more, you know, as far as the depth goes, just that much better than the Broncos? You're not really concerned at all, at least at this point, at the way Nathaniel Hackett does things as far as practice.
No, I'm not. And because it's about not just being fresh and ready to go for week one, it's about being fresh and ready to go for week one of the playoffs and week 15 and week 14 when you're hosting the Chiefs. And I think that's when Nathaniel Hackett's plan of not working these guys so hard is really going to help. Now, maybe they are a little bit behind the eight ball come week one of the regular season. But, Brady, this isn't the 2020 Broncos. This isn't the 2017 Broncos. This team should be competing for the playoffs. So you're going to need those fresh legs, and I think that's when it really comes to help them.
Cuts are coming up again, what, tomorrow, Zach? We're gonna cut a few more players. What's the number? Is it five cuts tomorrow?
Exactly. Last week we went from 90 to 85. This week it's 85 to 80. And then in 1 week from tomorrow, Brady, we have the massive 27-person cut down to 53.
Any surprises that our listeners should know about? Anything that you see that's going to really stand out to you? Or is it going to kind of be standard as far as if you've been following along and looking at this team through training camp? Not a lot of moves are going to shock you.
Yeah, tomorrow it should be pretty standard, especially since there's still going to be 80 guys on the roster. However, the following week, the guy I would keep your eye on is Mike Purcell. Do the Broncos deem that they want to save some money on him, or do they want to keep him? And my guess right now is they end up keeping Mike Purcell because he did not play in this past game, which is a good sign for him being able to make the team. But in terms of like any big surprises, when you look across the depth chart, it's pretty much clear who's going to make it outside of maybe a couple of guys at the end of their depth chart.
What do you think about Trey Quinn? He's fine in the summer, has the fumble on the kick return, but then right after that, he starts rolling. He ended up with 5 receptions, 47 yards. What a day for him. What a roller coaster.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that kick return, I felt so bad for him, especially with the way that every other kick return was going. It didn't matter who they had back there. Mike Boone was making plays. Obviously, Montrell Washington blowing people up despite being the smallest guy on the team in the return game. When it comes to Trey Quinn, I just look around the depth chart, and I'm so impressed with Jalen Virgil, Brandon Johnson, Kendall Hinton, Trey Quinn. They're going to cut a couple of guys that can really play football. And so, Brady, I think the Broncos end up keeping probably 6 wide receivers just because they can't cut one of those guys. and they're going to try to get as many of the other guys on their practice squad.
Yeah, Jalen Virgil, I mean, he's had an impressive preseason as well. So that's nice to see, because we are concerned about the depth, but it does seem like maybe the receiver core, even without Tim Patrick, I'm not saying that every guy on there is an obvious number two or three, but you have guys that might be able to make some make plays randomly throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, without a doubt, and we've seen all of these guys step up in practice too, and especially Brandon Johnson. He's been getting a decent amount of run with the number ones and Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson seems to really trust him. So that's a guy that I would keep my eye on. Entering last game, I would say that Brandon Johnson had a leg up on all the other guys. It's kind of came a little bit back down to be more of a competition these past few days. Very interesting, and still, you're not looking for Brandon Johnson or Trey Quinn or one of these guys to end up being the replacement for Tim Patrick. The majority of that is still going to fall on sharing the load between Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Big big seasons hopefully are in store for those two guys, Jeudy and Hamler, of course. Zach, my man, I know you got to run. Appreciate you as always. What are you working on for us that we can check out on DNVR Broncos?
Man, cuts. Like we talked about, Brady, that's the big storyline over the next week. How this coming preseason game impacts them, and just following who's being cut, projecting who's going to be cut, and of course, I'm heading out to practice right now, so I'll have you covered all week.
All right, my man. We'll be watching out for you. Appreciate you as always.
Right on. Thanks for having me, Brady.
All right, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Hear him every single Monday with us, and we're going to be breaking into all things Denver Broncos. So he's kind of thinking maybe Trey Quinn makes it. That was the one I had my eye on throughout the game Saturday, just because he fumbled it. Twitterverse goes crazy. Oh, he's not making the team. And then immediately following it, he's actually having a good, he actually finished with a really good game. What are the Broncos going to do, though? Zach's pretty confident that they're going to stick with Russell Wilson, Josh Johnson combo there. Not going to carry three quarterbacks. You know what? I like what he said. If you have to get to the point where Russell's out, Josh Johnson comes in and fails, and you're starting Brett Rypien, it's a lost season anyway, so you're in trouble. So probably, Zach's probably right. I mean, that's the expert. We're going to go with him there. Probably going to carry three to four running backs, maybe just three, because they do want to keep six wide receivers or so. That's probably going to be Courtland Sutton, Jeudy Hamler, Montrell Washington, Seth Williams. You got to throw another guy in there now that Tim Patrick's gone. Is that a Trey Quinn? Is that, you know, another guy we talked about that I thought's played pretty well? It's Jalen Virgil, two catches for 39 yards. You know, targeted twice in that game yesterday, so he's making the most of his situation. 18 minutes after the hour. We're going to get to the lunch rush a little bit later on Mondays when we have Zach Stevens join us, so we'll talk about that. What's the latest with Tom Brady? We have that coming up, and the Clay Millen Show starting at 1 o'clock today. We'll talk to the Colorado State quarterback, all things Mountain West, CSU, his first season as a starting quarterback, we're assuming anyway. And we're going to get into it. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. 18 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 23 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, it's time for our lunch rush. Normally we do this at 12:05. We move things around when you get your Broncos insider lined up and Zach Stevens. So top stories trending nationally in the sports world. When Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady is expected to return to the team today. So he's there. He's ready to go. He's fine.
I did see some tweets in the last hour about this. Apparently, he was on a vacation with his family.
Personal.
In the Bahamas.
Woo-hoo.
Must be tough.
Yeah, man. Antonio Brown tweeted out about it. Says Tom Brady manipulates the game, gets 14 days to go home. He can go home, right? On vacation. To get his mind right. LOL, now you see the difference. Put that blank on. I mean, first off, if there was a player to be given this, it would be Tom Brady. Are we good with it? Or is it weird? If you're a teammate of Tom Brady, are you upset? He went on vacation. He skipped out. In fairness, maybe he planned it before he decided to come back for retirement. It's like when you start a new job. Hey, by the way, I just got this job, but I do already have a planned vacation in October. So you got to honor that, right? If you want to hire me.
Sounds like he retired, went home to Giselle and said, let's go to the Bahamas in August.
Yeah, yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah.
I'm not going back to football, honey. Let's go with the kids.
Oh, man. I don't know.
And then he says, oh, wait, I'm going to go play football.
I don't know how I feel about this. It is a weird thing. I'll just say this. If there was one person to get this treatment, I suppose it should be him, especially considering the fact that he did retire briefly. And so maybe it was planned.
You're married, so you can speak to this. But if your wife planned a trip,
whew, yeah,
and you said, I can't go, you're going on that trip.
I'm going on that trip, but football players are different. You know, you commit to football. You're all in. It's your life. It's your real family outside of your real one. Your real family outside of your real one. Yeah, I said that right. Speaking of a guy that can't take any vacations, needs all the help he can get, Baker Mayfield has been named the starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. He's going to go right up against Cleveland, too, to start, man. That's another storyline situation setting up rather nicely for Baker Mayfield. Such a weird thing. Again, thinking of Baker and Sam Darnold and two guys drafted in the top five, and we think they're both going to go on and have great careers. They're both on the same team, and they battled it out for the starting quarterback job. Baker wins. Are you optimistic that Baker turns things around in Carolina?
Maybe not optimistic, but it's a storyline I'm going to be following. I don't think Baker's that of a guy. He's a decent quarterback, so see what he can do. I wonder if Sam Darnold's career is over.
Yeah, man. That class, I just keep thinking about that class and how that was almost all felt like they were all going to be hits, every single one of them. And really, it's been, what, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson from that class? Darnold's faded. Baker's up against it here, and Josh Rosen's, I don't even know where he is.
He's in Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. They have 500 quarterbacks now trying to replace this situation. That's even weirder.
What if it's Rosen and Mayfield week 1?
Oh, my God. The failed quarterbacks from that draft class, 2017 draft class or 18? I don't remember, but that was supposed to be the big deal. Okay. Drew Lock is feeling fine again. He's getting over the COVIDs. Seattle Seahawks quarterback Drew Lock is set to play a lot in their finale. Oh boy.
A little dress rehearsal?
A little dress rehearsal? Some teams view the third and final game as this is your last chance to make a team. Some teams view this as this is the dress rehearsal. There is no script for preseason anymore. Look what the Bills did. The Bills started Josh Allen and had some starters out there. The Broncos stayed pretty consistent with their messaging that they're not going to put a lot of starters out. Some teams just view this thing differently. So, is it going to be Drew Lock? Is it in his hands right now?
I believe so. I think going into these next 2 weeks, obviously one more preseason game, Drew Lock has to have a lot of confidence going into it off of coming back from COVID. Maybe he's got his mind in a different place, got some perspective on his health. You see Geno Smith struggle last weekend, and all right, it's your job to take, Drew.
This is it. I mean, he might have his opportunity again. You're only going to get so many of these things. And we pay attention to Drew because of the roller coaster ride that we all went on back when he was drafted for the Broncos. I'm interested to see it. I know.
Leave it alone.
I love it, man. People have come at me so hardcore on this, and I'm just going all in on it. It's fine. I am curious to see how he does. I actually am rooting for him. There's something there, Angel. I don't know if it'll ever really all come together for Drew Locke, but there is something there. I'm curious to see it.
You're allowed to have one player outside of your team that you can follow and support.
Yes, that's true. I don't know if... Is that... Can I take it back? I want to go with Lamar. I want to go with Lamar. Lamar Jackson, of course.
The most electrifying man in all of entertainment.
Yeah, if I'm going to go with a guy, it's going to be that guy.
It's not Drew Locke.
It's not
the second most electrifying.
Second most electrifying man in all of sports. This is just interesting. I am very. Is this game going to be on some kind of national television? Because I definitely want to see it. When do they play? Efforting. They play on Friday at Dallas. It will be on NFL Network.
There you go.
Must see television. Yes. Okay, so if he does well, he's got the job. Good. Fair enough. That's it.
Yeah, lock it up. Get a week of practice as the starter. Ready to go.
Are you betting on... You don't bet at all, do you? You dabble?
I haven't bet on sports before. I think this season might be the one. I opened the wallet a little bit.
Tanner's such a bad influence. He's like pushing you to
lose your money. He's just teaching
you
about spreads and over-unders and all of that. Well. The statistical side of it.
Don't let him...
His advice,
yes.
I'm not listening
let
to.
Him
I will
teach
listen to Clark
you.
And the coach when it comes to betting.
Yes, no question about it. All right, so do you bet on the Broncos? I don't even know what that spread is. Do you bet on the Broncos in that game? It is... Okay, the Broncos are starting out as six-point favorites in that game. Does Seattle cover?
I think they could cover.
Mm.
In their home stadium, you got the juices flowing. The 12th man is roaring. You never know what could happen.
No.
I have to say they cover at least.
Boy, and I don't know if the crowd does cheer for Russell because maybe they do. You're thinking maybe they cheer for him and then it goes away throughout the game. They know he wanted out.
Yeah,
I mean,
the way things ended there the last couple of years dealing with their offensive line issues and their carousel of running backs, they didn't end things on the best of terms.
And Seattle chose their guy. They chose Pete Carroll in the way they were going about doing things. Those two used to have a pretty good relationship, and they just weren't seeing eye to eye anymore, and changes weren't happening for Russell, and he ultimately wanted to get out. I didn't think it was going to happen. I really didn't. I was so shocked. I think everybody was shocked by the Russell Wilson deal. I think we'd all heard the rumors and we asked about it, but as it went on, we just thought, nah, he's going to probably try to make this thing work through his contract, but he wanted out. What does he have, 2 years left on his contract, Russell?
I think so.
And so he wanted out badly enough where he didn't want to finish off the final 2 years at Seattle. So I think maybe they boo him a little bit. They give him the boo birds come out. But I could be wrong on that. But they're going to go wild for Drew Locke, though. Just absolutely wild. It's going to be crazy. Yeah, Susan and Cheryl might even go. We might send them there on assignment. What do you think?
Girls, ladies? Yeah, I'm getting head nods.
You got to find your way there. Not paying for that. And you guys have to figure out where you want to sleep.
They can get some scalped tickets.
Yeah.
It's Susan and Cheryl.
You gotta get tickets.
You just show up and people will give them tickets.
I can't promise you any credentials or anything like that. But
they'll be on the sideline for sure.
So we'll see those people wandering around. Well, that lady doesn't have a shoe. She only has one shoe on. That must be from the whole show. I'm pretty interested in this game for Broncos. I mean, obviously, we're interested to see Russell Wilson, but I mean, look at all these games that are starting this way, too. Cleveland and Carolina. You got the Broncos, Seahawks. Then in week 12, we talked about that with the Browns and the Texans situation. The NFL sure knows what it's doing when it comes to scheduling, right?
Certainly. You started off with Bills, Rams in LA.
Right.
That'll be fun. You got couple divisional matchups on that Sunday. The mid-afternoon games look pretty good, then wrap it up on Monday night in Seattle.
If the Broncos lose to Seattle, is the narrative that week the Broncos failed with this Russell Wilson deal? Is that, does it freak out for a week and, oh, you traded draft picks and you, this is the start of this era, you're spending a lot of money on this guy. Is that going to be the headlines? That Seattle won the day, won the trade?
In the event of a loss, your best case scenario is the headline about Russell Wilson. Your worst case is about Nathaniel Hackett.
Mm.
God forbid he has some coaching mishap or doesn't do a challenge or something goes wrong.
Forgets how many timeouts he has, like Vic Fangio did.
And it's not a Russell Wilson question. It's my coach all there.
That's the thing of this. We are all very excited about the future and what it looks like for Russell Wilson and Nathaniel Hackett. But, dude, there's still a lot of unknowns. Russell was okay last year. I mean, he was good, but he wasn't Russell Wilson good. Those numbers last year weren't... That's not what we're used to seeing from Russ. And then, of course, he gets hurt. Nathaniel Hackett is a question mark. Does have a different philosophy than what we're used to seeing with head coaches. You know, Zach tells us, hey, I don't think the lack of crazy hitting and stuff and maybe more relaxed environment had much to do with their loss to the Bills, but guys aren't tackling. If you just don't look like you know how to tackle out there. And that was obvious. So when it's that obvious to us, it does make you wonder. So this Seattle game, I mean, Drew Lock has a chance on Friday to earn the job. And then again on that Monday night game, he has a chance to keep it, to solidify himself as a starting quarterback and prove all of his doubters wrong. It's a hell of a story.
Yeah, it would be closure. It's either way you put it, it's closure for either one of these quarterbacks. If Russell goes out and beats Seattle, he ends that chapter. If Locke can go out and beat Denver, it's, hey, you missed out on this. I'm going to go light it up and make it to the Pro Bowl.
Well, and there's and then
Brian
Gary shaving his head. If Drew Locke is one of the first three Pro Bowlers, not a reserve or anything, Brian Gary, one of our morning show hosts, has to shave his head. That's crazy. He loves his hair, man.
Oh, yes.
He's big into the hair.
It's a work of art.
It's a work of art. So for that reason alone, I've become even a bigger Drew Locke fan, if that's even possible.
I mean, other than his mom, you might be his number one fan.
I think so. I think I've got to be close. Listen, my whole deal with that situation was you said the word closure. That closes a chapter, ends a chapter. I didn't get closure with Drew Lock. Paxton Lynch, I knew what the situation was. Joe Flacco, Case Keenum, we all kind of saw these guys fall apart. And Peyton Manning, we had closure. He won a Super Bowl. Like, we got closure on all of these quarterbacks, good or bad. But we didn't get it with Drew Lock. I really feel that way. Because, Vic Fangio was a failed experiment. The guy was never a head coach before Denver, and they take a chance. And this is a part of, you know, John Elway's last five-year run of bad decisions. Just terrible decisions for 5 years, and that was one of them. And then they draft a quarterback that makes zero sense for Vic Fangio. I mean, typically your quarterback kind of mirrors what your coach is about, right? I mean, name another. Yeah, there's sometimes defensive-minded coaches, but they have quarterbacks that still mesh with what they want to do. If they're a defensive-minded guy that wants to run and they're tough, you know, Josh Allen's a tough kind of quarterback that's just gotten better. Typically, the quarterbacks mirror their coach. I've never seen such a contrast between Vic Fangio and Drew Lock.
Yeah, and if not the head coach, on some scale, the offensive coordinator.
Sure.
And that was another bad decision there.
Yeah, you move on from the guy that got five games out of Drew Lock, four really good games out of Drew Lock, and you move on from him. Your offensive coordinator is important, no matter what, but isn't their relationship with the quarterback the most important?
Sure. I mean, in most situations, that's the guy directly talking to your quarterback pre-snap, getting them to play. That relationship has to work on every level for your offense to be successful. And if your head coach isn't either not supportive or just doesn't care what happens on the offense, this kind of situation can happen.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's Friday night, must-see television. Watch Drew Lock earn the Seattle Seahawks starting quarterback job. Whew, that'll set up for a fun week, man. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to the whole show. Wait, The whole show? What is this, a show about boats? Anyway, it's here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 42 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Stick around at 1 o'clock for the Clay Millen Show, the starting quarterback for the Rams. And they don't play this weekend, but getting close. They're going to Michigan in about 2 weeks, and that will be Clay's first start. He played in two games as a true freshman, completed one of two passes. So, I mean, he didn't really get a lot of playing time, but that is the guy. You talk to Jay Norvell, Coach Mummy, like they have a lot of things that they think that this guy brings to the table as far as what his style is, fitting that Fort Air Raid, that new style to us anyway. We haven't seen it. Bobo kind of had some high-flying offense and stuff, but this is much different. Like, this is way different. So excited to have Clay on each and every Monday, especially as we get into the season. Thanks to Crazy Carl's Pizza, again, for being the name sponsor of all things the Clay Millen Show. Angel, how do you feel about the robot umps calling strikes and balls and all that stuff behind home plate?
I think it's an idea that has long been floated in the major leagues, that there's got to be a simpler way to do this. We have the technology.
We do,
actually.
You
put a microchip in the baseball, you put a laser grid that's invisible on home plate, and you get balls and strikes.
Wow, that would be cool.
I mean,
you lose the personality of it. Is there a fear there? You know, one of baseball's things that they hang on to is that umps are kind of cocky, terrible people. And they argue with players, and they're animated. I mean, they're animated. That's a big deal. You lose all of that. You probably have a guy standing back there to be able to call if a runner is safe and stuff at home, and maybe to turn the robot on or something. But I, at first, I hated this idea because I thought, man, that's one of the things baseball has going for them. It's one of the things that makes them unique, but I don't know if it's just been watching so much baseball this year. I watched more baseball this year than I ever have. I don't know if I'm still recovering from the COVID year that was, where we were deprived for a few months of sports. So I'm just squeezing in as many sporting events as I possibly can. But they're so obviously wrong sometimes. And when that happens, it's like, why do we have to be wrong at all? We don't have to be wrong here. On this call, we can be 100% accurate.
Yeah, there's that human error that's always in play with, I guess, live umps now. But, you know, I'd imagine maybe it's some kind of similar to how PitchCom works. Maybe it's just a headset that he's wearing. It'll get a call and it'll tell him. And maybe he still gets to make those animated strike calls and all that. Or maybe it's a second guessing. Like the robot calls something and the ump says, oh, maybe that was a ball, maybe that was a strike. And then you just call it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. If you're going to get rid of the umps, then I don't know. It's,
yeah,
I changes the dynamic of the batter going to the box,
certainly
the catcher,
does.
And now you got two robots communicating with each other.
Who's handing the catcher the ball?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's impossible to use the same ball more than once.
Well, if it gets a speck of dirt, you got to. It's ruined.
Yeah, the ump's got like 3,000 baseballs on him at all times and pulling them out of different pockets.
Or
and
yell at the catcher. The kid in the dugout, hey, need more.
Yeah, you got a
little
rely
robot
on this kid now.
Something over there.
Yeah, just have. It's just maybe the optics of it are just weird to me. You know, like the idea that you're not going to have a big part of your game. I mean, a home plate umpire is a huge part of sports. Every baseball movie you see.
How do you make baseball more watchable? And put robots in it.
Speed it up. It does seem like there are pitchers that are speeding it up a little bit, but man, who's the Padres pitcher? I can't think of his name. That does like 14 different little jumps before he pitches it. He's like moving his feet like he does the shuffle. I guess it was to keep timing and stuff that he learned how to pitch. It's kind of cool, I guess, but when you're frustrated watching baseball and you want your team to win and you're like, come on, let's get something going here, and this guy's dancing up on the mound, is it just takes forever. So, I mean, obviously that, to me, makes baseball more watchable. It's not so much time in between pitches. But maybe you got to get this strike and ball thing correct. And it's happened to the point where it's costing teams games, and we're arguing about it more, and we're, I mean, again, you said it, we have the ability to do this. We can make it 100% accurate. So that's why it is frustrating when you miss even one call. You're like, you don't have to, but human error, to me, is, this is why I don't like reviews. I actually think all reviews should be taken out of sports. Either you review everything or you don't review anything. And I don't want to review everything because we're going to be here forever. So I actually like the, in football especially, the human error element of just, this is a different ref, a different officiating crew, and somebody's going to get it right, somebody's going to get it wrong. It's part of it. And reviews, I think, slows things down, especially basketball now. We got to review when the ball goes out of bounds. I mean, we stop the clock for, there's like 5 minutes sometimes it goes by, and we're sitting there reviewing this over and over and over again, and it just zaps energy out of any kind of game.
Ask you a hypothetical. If this works in baseball with this technology, would you like to see it in football, specifically first down?
Yeah. For that one, to me, because the refs,
if you can get that as an automatic first down or not, you make the game so much easier.
Yeah, and you don't need to, I mean, the measuring is cool, it's part of the game, but I don't need that. I'm
we'll
not
review,
married to
we'll
that.
We use cameras and robots to review a play, but in terms of yardage, nah, this little chain is too long.
You're right, and it's an eyeball.
Or let's get a flash card out and see.
Exactly. And or a guy brings out his credit card or something, and boop, there you go. Everything in football, we've got the guys in the studio, 45,000 different angles of how this play happened. But to decide whether it's a first down, potentially a turnover on downs or a first down, we're going to bring out a dude. You marked it here. We're going to just assume that's where it was. Even though the player was underneath a pile and came out of it, and the ball, he grabbed the ball and shoved it up 2 inches. That referee's had his eye on the spot where the ball was or where his knee was down the entire time.
And you're then telling me they get that little flag marking right
yeah,
every time?
No. And then, yeah, that guy's sideline dudes eyeballing it.
They're not even paying attention.
The ref's eyeballing it. I mean, that is hilarious. That's a great point. We use technology for all these other things, and yet for a first down, we have our eyeballs. We have one, like, 73-year-old official run out there and go, it's right there. And then they bring the sticks out. And they measure it, and they hold up, just a little short there. Bad spot. That's something that you can argue with. But that's more frustrating. A bad spot, is that more frustrating than a missed strike call?
I think so. I mean, a bad spot is the difference in a win or a loss at
some
point.
That's true. Yeah, well, that's interesting. All right, 12:50 the time. We're going to wrap up this hour. We've got the Clay Millen Show coming up at 1 o'clock. Get ready. Hold on to your butts, Rams fans. We're talking all things Colorado State with who better than the quarterback. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
I want to thank Cables Pub and Grill for sponsoring this program and are going to be responsible for bringing back Top Text Tuesday. Angel, we're going to see if we can ramp it up, and we're going to get some amazing gift cards. You guys will be competing for big gift cards, courtesy of Cables Pub and Grill. Like, you're going to get, like, for winning the day, like a $10 gift card or something. But if you win your three, first one to win three is going to get like a $50 or $100 gift card at Cables Pub and Grill. That's going to go a long way. So we're going to invite the Hooligans to get after it again. Cables Pub and Grill, that's where friends meet. And every Monday, a lot of friends are going there because it's all-you-can-eat spaghetti. $5.95 for all-you-can-eat spaghetti. Delicious. You're not going to find a better spaghetti place around. Cables Pub and Grill, especially for that discount. My goodness.
All-you-can-eat spaghetti?
All-you-can-eat,
man. That sounds
man.
So good.
Oh, big spaghetti fan. big spaghetti fan. Cables Pub and Grill. Check them out. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. You ready for the Clay Millen show, man? This is going to be a lot of fun. He just pulled in, by the way.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he's throwing a football as we speak. I've never seen this guy
Micah
not throwing.
Him.
Yeah, Micah, of course, met him at the door. So he may already be driving back to Fort Collins. We'll find out. But this is going to be, listen, there might be some growing pains. He's a young guy. His first start is going to be in Michigan. Gah.
The biggest stadium you could possibly play college football in.
It's terrifying, man. So we'll talk to Clay, and we'll get to talk about how he's feeling about everything, his transition from Nevada to Fort Collins, to Colorado State. And also we'll ask him this question. Was he really almost a Buff? He's got a legendary family. His dad, of course, played in the NFL, was a star at Washington. I think he does radio, too. So at some point, we're going to get him on, and Clay's going to work on his interviewing skills and get ready to rock and roll. So this is going to be a lot of fun, Rams fans. Shoot us your questions. If you have anything for Clay, 888-530-0043 for getting to know Clay. We'll do that. Coming up next, the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza here on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.